It's time for Michigan Sports Talk Morning Show, broadcasting live all across the state of Michigan and Northwest Ohio. This is X's and Bros.
Swings it out to Sadiq Bey. Gets Benny in the corner.
To Abdul Rahman at midcourt. Extra pass.
And it goes for the win. The three-pointer by Jordan Poole.
Here's the give. Walker.
Kenny Walker. Touchdown. Smarty.
Goff's got it. Back. Looks. Throws. Ends up.
Yes. Caught. Touchdown to Kurt Myers. They did it. Amon Ross St. Brown to receive again.
Sends one to deep left center field. Back it goes, and that ball's
out of here. A grand slam from Miguel Cabrera. He's got two goals. Larkin in on goal. Scores! His first career hat trick in his seventh season for Dylan Larkin.
Here's your host, Anthony Bellino.
Rise and shine, folks. Good Feel Good Friday morning to you. It is the seventh day of July 2023. We welcome you here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Gale, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio and worldwide on the iHeartRadio app. Text the keyword sports radio, send that to 21000, or call us on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, 248-951-2176, 248-951-2176. Let's get to Freddie, who's on hold right now. Good morning, Freddie. How are you on this Friday?
Good morning, AB. How are you?
I'm great. You got to be excited about the weekend to come, this Friday, Saturday, Sunday matchup against the Toronto Blue Jays with Fiedo, Manning, and Skubal all scheduled to pitch in a row. Will we make it five innings with each guy and nobody get injured?
Absolutely. All of you guys, I'm excited.
Hey, you said you weren't going to say his name ever again, and look at that. It lasted 12 hours.
I realized when I said it. My apologies. I deserve a two-week suspension.
You haven't cursed yet, but that's getting close to a curse word.
Give me up on my phone. My kids ran me out. My wife got used the phone when I called you guys the other day.
Why would they do that? They can't tell on you like that.
Well, because, the new law, you're not supposed to be on your phone. So they don't want me to do this. Don't worry, I'm going to get community service. So they ran me out.
You tell them your whole life right now is community service?
Dan, guess where I'm driving right now? What's up, Warren and Beach Daily?
Warren Valley, Riverside, Holy Cluck.
That's it.
Which one?
Oh, that's it. Warren Valley. I'm driving by Warren Valley.
Oh, man.
It's a golf course, Anthony. Donald Ross Design.
Hey, if you guys can go Sunday or Monday after the show, let me know. Or no, Sunday, let me know. You guys text me, okay? I got a hookup, so just let me know. Anyways, I called because I sent a text. I figured I wanted to talk to you about it. Now you said something about Jared Goff. There's no way they'll put him up in L.A. Correct? You said that.
Yeah, he's not going up in Los Angeles. No.
Well, he took a team to the Super Bowl. Won about four or five playoff games. Why wouldn't they put him in L.A., but they'll put Stafford up here in Detroit?
They won't put him up in L.A. because they view that as the guy that couldn't get it done and should have gotten it done, and that's why they brought in Matthew Stafford. We would put Matthew Stafford in because every team is different, right? Every organization and how they want to – who they choose to honor and how they choose to go about it's completely different. And Matthew Stafford – statistically, the best quarterback that's ever been in the organization. So,
is that what they're going to write on the number nine when they put them up in the Ring of Honor?
No, they just put their names. They don't have any taglines with it. But if they put number nine up there, I could see why they would do it. I could see that if Jared Goff wins a Super Bowl in Detroit, I could see this being a point of contention where people are like, yo, you got to put up 16 and don't even worry about 9. I could see that.
Yeah. I hope that happens. I would love to have a discussion because then we'll have a trophy in the trophy case. Well, let me ask you. Now, all you guys are assured that Stafford's going in. You guys are probably right. The organization will put him in because he's a classy guy. No matter if you like him or not, he's a class act. He's done a lot for a lot of people, and maybe that shouldn't matter. But when it comes to Detroit Lions organization, it does matter to them. So a couple guys. Is Lomas in there? And shouldn't Sue and Porche or both go in there as well?
Porche, I think Robert Porche. I mean, I think that's the one guy from that era that doesn't get enough. We don't talk about enough. I love Robert Porche. I would put Porche in right away. Dominican Sue, I don't know with the way that things ended here with him. I don't know. Kind of feels like a little bit of a. I think there's some legacy to this. I really do, and I think that's why with Corey Dillon, the fans don't forget what he said. The fans don't forget that he wanted out. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that they're probably holding that against Corey Dillon, which is where this whole conversation spawned from, because of his electric commentary to The Athletic about not getting in and how he feels about it. And the guy's mad and guy's upset that, the fans would get a vote and, these fans didn't even see half of us play and this, that, and the third. So I understand what he's saying, but I do think that there is something to be said, as you mentioned. Matthew Stafford did a lot for a lot of people. I think that the overall impact of the player and his legacy being quote unquote likable plays a role in this.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Sue did a lot for a lot of people as well, too, but just never really heard about it. And, I'm sure he's got a foundation he probably never heard about. That's just kind of him. I just think when you talk about Hall of Fame and Ring of Honor, you got to judge the players on the field and not off the field. I mean, now if you do something heinous, that requires jail time, then I get it. But, we can get in that Pete Rose discussion, all time hit leader, and but he did something off the field. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. And did you find out if Lomas is on there as well? Lomas looks good and everything.
No, I don't think Lomas is in the Ring of Honor. I could double check.
Well, that's pretty sad because I go on this rant every year. I mean, Lomas got screwed because he played for the Detroit Lions. I mean, you think back to left tackles when he played. I know there were some great ones that are all in the Hall of Fame when he played. The guy from Cincinnati, the guy from the Rams, other guy. He's drawing a blank right now because Lomas played for the Detroit Lions. He got screwed, and it ticked me off that he's not in the Hall of Fame because he played for the Detroit Lions. He was one of the great left tackles of all time, and he had the best running back of all time behind him. I don't know what more you need, Hall of Fame. Anyways, gotta go. That was my rant. Have a great weekend, guys. Let me know about Sunday if you can't. I understand. Bye.
All right. That sounds good. Wow. You're not going to get any argument with me. So if you want, Herman Moore went in at what, 2018 with Alex Karras? So, like, look, if for me, this could be one really big, great debate. If you say anything with Lomas Brown that's positive, I'm backing that up 100%. You could put Lomas in yesterday, and you're not going to get any refute from me. With the statistical impact that Matthew Stafford had on the organization, he was, what, 74-90-1 as a career record, 0-3 in the playoffs. Like, I mean, now as a member of the LA Rams, how things kind of went down with Stafford not wanting to go through the rebuild again. I mean, it worked out well for everybody. We're in great position. I'm not mad that the trade happened at all. I have no ill will towards Matthew Stafford or his family. I'm glad that he won the Super Bowl because I always thought he was talented enough to do it. We just didn't have it around him. And look, people will be like, oh, that 2014 defense. Yes, that was a good defense, but you have to be able to learn to win in high leverage situations. And that was probably part of the course of him developing as a quarterback in this league and as a man on how to, handle what would take place later on in his career with the LA Rams. But yeah, put Lomas in right now. I'm good with that 100%. We'll step aside, back with more X's and Bros after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Get everything you need with just one stop at Meijer. Right now, buy five, save $5 on items across the store. Like Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, Breyers or Ben & Jerry's ice cream, and Brawny paper towels, two double rolls. Plus, pick up Kingsford twin-pack charcoal briquettes for just $17.88 for all your summer grilling. Get more for your money with the same prices online and in-store at Meijer. Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
Hey, this is Matt Shepard from the Michigan Sports Network. I love summers in Michigan because it means golf season. Now, two things always when I go golfing. I make sure I got my sticks, and I've got plenty of cold, fresh Labatt Blue Light. Whether I've just squeezed in 18 holes or I just want to relax on the patio after a long day, everywhere I go, and I'm serious when I tell you this, I tell people about the smooth, genuine taste of Labatt Blue Light. It's just a great beer. Michigan Sports Network is giving you a chance to win a foursome to Michigan's best courses. Just listen weekdays to The Huge Show and X's and Bros, or just text GOLF to 21,000 to enter. That's GOLF to 21,000. The trip includes two overnight stays and two rounds of golf, all brought to you by my friends at Labatt Blue Light. So grab a Labatt Blue Light the next time you head out onto the course and enjoy the blue skies, because blue is for Michigan summers and great times. Always enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2023 Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. All rights reserved. Labatt is a registered U.S. trademark of Labatt Brewing Company, LTD.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan, available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive boys and girls high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
Hey folks, a step into a world of nonstop action over at the DraftKings Casino. Play the classics like blackjack, roulette, and slots. Plus, you can enjoy exclusive games you can't find anywhere else. Right now, new customers who deposit at least $5 can get a match of their first deposit, score up to $2,000 in casino bonus funds. All you have to do is sign up, select the offer of your choice, and start playing from a full suite of games. Download the DraftKings Casino app right now. Sign up using the promo code HUGE. You get a match in your first deposit of $5 or more, up to $2,000 in casino bonus funds. Only at DraftKings Casino, only using the promo code HUGE. Now, if you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, wants help, needs help, call the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Gambling Disorder Helpline, 800-270-7117. 21 plus, Michigan only, one per opted-in customer. Minimum $5 deposit, max match $2,000. Deposit and bonus amount required 15 times playthrough within 30 days. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/players-choice-restrictions. Do apply. Welcome back here to X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network. That's Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke. I am Anthony Bellino. And Dano says, Warren Valley, did you? It's a golf course, Anthony. Yeah, I've heard you speak of this Warren Valley. So I went and looked up the card. I might take Freddie up on that. I got to kind of see what the deal is on Sunday. But, I mean, 3,100 yards on the front, just shy of 3,000 yards. I mean, 6,100 yards? That sounds like Tamarron.
Okay. Listen, this is a golf course.
Mm-hmm, not a rock concert.
No, I'm saying you got to hit golf shots. This is not, hey, hit the ball far and then go up and hit the ball far again. There's...
Oh, really? Is that how you play?
Yeah,
is that how this is done?
Especially the back west is, man, that's you got to hit golf shot after golf shot if you want to score that side.
Would you say that Warren Valley is more challenging than TPC Michigan?
Oh, gosh, no. TPC Michigan. I think I don't know if I ever broke 90 out there in high school.
I'm gonna be in your DMs. Bring a pizza.
Sunday morning?
I'll bring some waters. The morning's not gonna work. Morning's definitely not gonna work. But if it's later on in the day, I'll be able to pull that off. I got a wedding Saturday night, work Sunday.
Well, so do I.
Do you really?
I do have a wedding Saturday in Birmingham or something.
Oh, really? Going to the Townsend Hotel?
Pine Lake Country Club. Townsend, the wedding shower was at the Townsend.
Oh, very nice. Incredible venue. Mister, you can't just hit the ball far and hit it far again. You wouldn't be able to hit it far again if you hit it far the first time because you're going to have a wedge into the green. I'm highly interested in this course right now. Warren Valley, and I think I don't know if it was Warren Valley or if it was Washtenaw that Freddie said that he absolutely
Washtenaw.
Loves.
Yeah, he loves. Oh, totally different caliber of golf course. If you're thinking Washtenaw, no, it's not the quality of course as Washtenaw.
Wait, Washtenaw is better or worse?
Washtenaw is a fantastic track.
Oh, okay. Is that also a Donald Ross?
No, I don't think so. It's right. It's a little hilly for Donald.
Okay. The Don. Donald Ross. All right. I love that. So maybe I can golf with Freddie. This might be our new thing. I might just get on a golf cart with Freddie and have him drive me around and we can play all the courses that I haven't played. But yeah, this Warren Valley's looking real, real nice right now. I'm seeing some very, very scorable holes here. I got the map out and everything. I had to look. I wanted to see it.
I don't even need a map. I know that the course is in my brain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could see a picture. Like somebody's like, hey, I'm at Warren Valley. And you're like, yeah, it's number 6.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those.
I was out there 5 days a week for 4 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited. 6,100 yards. It's kind of in that wheelhouse. I might not even have to hit driver. Just hit irons off the tee.
Well, again, you remind the people there's only 2 par fives on the West. So that's, you know, you're looking at a couple hundred yards right there that wouldn't be there or would be there if it was a standard 72 par.
Yeah, I'm like hole number 8 on the West. I'm looking at it says 298 from the tips. It's a par 4.
Oh, right. That's
so you pull out your driver okay, and you're hoping to be for eagle.
No, you're hitting 3 wood. No, I don't know what's behind the green.
It's trees behind the green and short is a swamp. So you either got to, you know, hit 5 iron into the fairway and hit a wedge on or pray you hit the green.
Okay, yeah, so that's a little too dangerous thing. Because I was like, yo, if you go over the green.
Or if you're a normal person, you just hit driver, and then you have a nice, easy approach shot to the green.
It's just it's just nasty in front of that green.
I mean, 298, shoot, I almost want to hit 7-iron off the tee. Just put 7-iron right down the middle of the fairway. And then leave yourself like a buck, what was that?
My
300 yards.
R.I.P.
Buck 30 in.
R.I.P. Coach Fletcher, my golf coach, my freshman year guy I had known since I was 5 or 6 years old and then passed away after my freshman year. But his ashes were spread out on that hole, number 8 West.
Wow. A lot of par 4s. Just 3 par 3s, 2 par 5s.
Number 7, the par 3 before that 8 is a very, 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 very difficult uphill par 3. It probably says 185 on the card or something. It probably plays 210.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, exciting. Exciting. This is great. As I was pulling up the course map and looking at the Rouge River cutting through there, I saw that, you know, some related content popped up on the Google, and they have Raisin River East and West, which has since been closed. But what a loss of a great 36 holes, ton of fun at Raisin River. Missed that place. Like, it's exactly, we need another track. Like, we're just wearing out the same courses. Like, we have to, me and my group of friends, like, we're going to have to start traveling a little bit to play some different courses. So Gion's really all in on, is it Lakes of Taylor?
Ooh, Lakes of Taylor. That's a tougher track. I would go to Taylor Meadows first to get a feel for the course.
To get a real feel for Taylor?
Yes.
Downriver?
Like that. Hey, for city-owned courses, very, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, he was really impressed with Lakes of Taylor. He was like, dude, we got to get up there and play. That place was Taylor? Great.
Yeah. I didn't know. Was that, say, would you call it Taylor course or a Taylor Tucky course?
Oh, but hey, man, Downriver fans.
It just all depends how it looks.
What? Yeah, they're Taylor. They're not. Yeah, they're not Taylor Tucky.
You know who I love? Our Downriver Lions fans. Those people collectively are on the next level of Lions fandom. I mean, you got a guy walking around like a calf tattoo of a lion for a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl. Like, it's impressive. Yeah, I love those folks from Taylor. They always stop by.
In Waterford, if I'm driving to my father-in-law's restaurant, you always pass this house, garage door, big lion head painted right on it. Has the tailgating bus in the driveway.
Wait, do you live by I think I've seen that garage door and that bus because I think we did a hit, like a special hit pregame for that.
Probably.
Older guy, right? Where's a Lions hard hat?
Sure.
It's not Crackman, is it?
I don't know.
He lives in St. Clair Shores.
I don't know who lives there. I just know I've driven by that house 100 times at least in my life.
Well, I mean, you got a credential. Could you at least walk up and like be like, hey, excuse me. Ryan Elke here, Michigan Sports Network. Love the garage door. You mind answering a couple questions about your Lions fandom? I think that'd be great. They would do it. Just make sure you have a credential on. I don't want you knocking at the house unidentified and something bad happening. So, you know, flash it. Be like, yeah.
The guy has a Lions logo painted on his garage door. I'm sure it wouldn't be the first time someone knocked on his door. Be like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Like, pretty cool. Yeah, what's the backstory here? If we do Sunday, it's Green Oaks near Ypsilanti. Now I got to look up another course. Jeez, this guy's just dragging me along. Like an Easter egg hunt for golf. We're going to step aside. When we return, Kevin Allen will join us on the Detroit Red Wings and what is next. We'll talk about it here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We might have just come out with our most refreshing Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer yet. It's called the Essential Collection. It's made with coconut water and real fruit juice. So it's always going to have a real refreshing fruit taste. Can refreshing get any more refreshing? Yep, it can, and it just did. Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer, made with coconut water and real fruit juice for superior taste. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzer, IRC Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
At Mercantile Bank, we understand that different businesses have different needs. That's why our team of business specialists take the time to understand your business, your goals, and your objectives. We provide tailored solutions and innovative products, all delivered locally. So when you're ready to work with a partner who understands your unique business needs, call us. We're here and ready to put the wheels in motion. To learn more, visit us online at mercbank.com/business and let's make dreams a reality. Member FDIC.
When you're in construction, you know that every minute matters and every dollar counts. You've got materials to purchase, employees to pay, and deadlines to meet. What you don't have is time to worry about your accounting, taxes, or ways to grow your business. That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your business is construction, our business is helping you run your business better. From tax planning, payroll processing, or R&D credit studies, we're here for you with concrete advice and answers. Let us help you build a solid foundation for your business. Whether you're a subcontractor, developer, architect, or engineer, of all the things you build, make your business the strongest. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
Go.
Golf season's here. No better place to get your stay and play ready for your favorite group of people with Matt Golden and Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, offering not one but two championship courses, Tullymore and St. Ives. It's located about an hour north of Grand Rapids, 30 minutes west of Mount Pleasant. So it's smack dab in the middle of the state, and it's easy to get to no matter where you are driving from. So call my buddy Matt right now at 1-800-972-4837. That's 1-800-972-4837. Or log on to TullymoreGolf.com, TullymoreGolf.com. Book your stay and play at the beautiful Tullymore Golf Resort today. Danny Cahalan of Ryan Elke, I'm Anthony Bellino. Right now, we are joined by a national columnist for the Hockey Buzz and Red Wings beat writer for Detroit Hockey Now. His name is Kevin Allen. Find him on Twitter at @ByKevinAllen. Mr. Allen, good morning to you, partner. Happy Friday, my friend. How are you? How's life? How are things?
Everything is great. Finished with the Red Wings development camp and got a chance to see all their prospects and kind of see their future in the present. They've got some impressive young players coming up the pipeline.
Starting with the development camp, who jumped off the ice to you? Who did you see out there and you get a little smile, you get a little grin, you start to write and type a little bit faster?
Well, I mean, I think the one guy that we're all kind of talking about is Amadeus Lombardi. In addition to having a cool name, he's actually a pretty dynamic hockey player. And, you know, what's interesting about him is, Yzerman has made a name for himself by drafting really well in the first round. But Amadeus was a fourth round pick, and he looks like, he could be a premium player. Every time he's on the ice, he seems to, make a dynamic play that, you think about the rest of the day, and I think they're excited about him. They want to see, what he can do. He's not the biggest guy. He's only like 5'11", 175 pounds. But just between last year and this year, watching him, you can see he's been in the weight room. He's really working at it. So, that's going to be the difference moving forward. It's great that they have all these top picks, but you got to hit on those lower round picks in order to take that next step. So I think that's what they're counting on. So I think he was probably the guy that everybody was talking about.
Kevin, we were just talking about that earlier in hour number two and kind of comparing it to, because of the number of rounds in the NHL draft, comparing it to the NFL draft, right? And you expect your first rounders to come in and make impacts, but you're going to build the rest of your roster in rounds 3 through 7. I mean, that's where you're going to have to hit on a couple diamonds in the rough. Like it has to happen for you to be able to have drafting success. And whether that's it's just luck, it's a good amateur scouting. I don't know. It's probably a good combination of the two of them. But if you're not hitting on your first rounders, that's also going to be a massive problem.
Well, that's really true in the NHL. I mean, really it's hard to compare the NHL to the NFL only in that, these NFL players are ready when they're drafted. They step out of the college game and they step into the NFL. And, you find starters in the fifth round of the NFL draft. And, you're not going to do that in the NHL. And to be honest, even the first round of the NHL draft only has a 70% rate of return. In other words, 30% of the players taken in the first round don't make it. And if you look at the top 15 picks versus the second 15 picks, there's a big difference there. Like the second half of the first round is almost a 50-50 proposition, which is a little hard for them. And on average, you get about two players out of every draft year. Teams do. So it's a little bit harder. There's a little more dart throwing that goes on in the NHL draft, but you're bang on when you say you got to make hay in those later rounds. And for years, with guys like Holmstrom and Datsyuk and Zetterberg, the Red Wings did make hay in those later rounds and ended up finding top players, and that's what put them at the top of the heap in the National Hockey League, and they haven't done that in recent years, but since Yzerman took over, I think there's a belief that is starting to happen.
So I know that you recently wrote about this at DetroitHockeyNow.com, but why isn't Puse signed?
I'm sorry, Peter Suter?
Yeah.
Well, they liked him quite a bit, but there was two conflicting objectives in this offseason. One was to get more scoring, and Pia Suter, the definitely a consistent goal scorer. You know, he gets you 13, 14, 15 goals every year. And they, you know, they really didn't want to give up his scoring, but they also wanted to get bigger and tougher, and grittier. And, you know, the captain, Dylan Larkin, made mention twice last year after games that, you know, the team had gotten, pushed around too much. And it was almost like I took it as a kind of a message to Steve Yzerman to say, you know, help us out here. We need some bigger guys. And so, so it doesn't fit. You know, Suter's a small guy, 5'9", 5'10". And so, and they had trouble. But I think the other issue, it was Suter wanted a 2-year, deal, and, the Revenues really only wanted to give him a 1-year deal. And that's probably why he's still out in the marketplace because, you know, everybody's kind of capped out. They don't have room. They don't want to commit more than a year to players that are kind of on the margins of their roster. So, I think they like Suter. They just felt like, they wanted to get a little bigger.
With Philip Zadina, we were just talking about the draft and how you want to be able to hit on your first rounders, but you got to be able to build in those later rounds. You need somebody to come out and surprise you, and you know, with your rate of return there, with 30% of the first round never even making it to the major league level. I mean, wow, that's a crazy stat, but it makes total sense because you know, outside of the first couple picks in this year's draft, who knows when we'll see these first rounders, yeah, if at all, in the NHL. So it's always, you know, NHL in that regard, very much like MLB, right? You got to get them in your system and work on the development, right, and you know, all the physical changes that a young man's going to need in order to be able to survive at the NHL level. But Philip Zadina is a guy that was a very high pick in 2018, sixth overall, and you know, unconditional waivers. You agreed to, you know, we're going to agree here to mutually part ways, and you're just going to hit the open market. That's kind of a shocker.
It absolutely was, because I mean, there's a lot to unpack here with Zadina. You know, first of all, as you mentioned, he was a number six pick. He came with high expectations. You know, he's projected to be a 25 plus goal scorer at the NHL level. He hasn't been close to that. You know, he's his best season, he had 10 goals. He's been undermined by injuries. But here's the thing that's really kind of shocking. Yzerman really liked Zadina. He did. He didn't draft him. Ken Holland did. But what he liked about Zadina is, you know, is that Zadina came every day trying to be a better player. Like, he hated the fact that he hadn't lived up to expectations. He really worked at it. And Yzerman's all about work. And if you work hard, like, that's why he likes Rasmussen, because Rasmussen, everything they've asked Rasmussen to do, first they ask him to be a net front presence, then they ask him, you know, to be a checking center, then they moved him to the wing. He just keeps trying to do it. So Yzerman liked that. He respected Zadina, you know, for doing that. You know, he gave him that contract, you know, 3-year deal, $1.8 million. And now all of a sudden Zadina comes to him and says, you know, I need a fresh start. Get me out of here. And, you know, Yzerman gritted his teeth, said, I'll try to trade you, but nobody wanted him, you know. And they didn't disbelieve in him. They put him through waivers. They could have got him for nothing other than accepting his contract. They didn't want to do that. And that still wasn't enough for Zadina. Now he comes back through his agent and says, let's terminate the contract. Now imagine the courage it takes to walk away, because, you know, his average salary is $1.8 million. But next year he was set to make $2.7 million. So he is essentially walking away from $4.5 million. $4.5 million. And he has no idea whether he can recoup that, because everybody in the league has passed on him. So, I mean, you talk about betting on yourself. I mean, that's what Zadina is doing right now, because clearly he's hoping that he can go to another NHL team for the minimum salary, because that's what it will be, and then try to prove himself and gain that back. But this is a big risk for Zadina. It really is. And I don't know many of us that would walk away from a contract that will pay 4.5 and change a million over the next two seasons. But he's doing that because he believes he can be a better player. He just needs to find the right opportunity.
Kevin, I would stand in front of Al MacInnis clappers from the blue line on the power play for $4.5 million. All right, like, I'm not walking away. I'm running to it. Like, what do you need me to do here, coach? I'll get the bags and throw them on the bus after the game if you need me to. I'll help with the equipment staff and do some laundry post game for $4.5 million. Not a whole lot I wouldn't do for $4.5 million, my friend. Now with Alex DeBrincat, Kevin, this is very interesting, because the Detroit fan base, we the Iser plan, as it's coined, right? And we sensationalize things. We do. It's the captain, his return in a management role to resurrect the Red Wings from the dead, very much like Lazarus. Like, this is, it all makes sense as to why we, as you know, fans and even maybe as media members, see him differently than if it was just another guy who took over this team. We need the White Knight and Shining Armor to come back and save the franchise. But the Iser plan is taking some time. Ken Holland said it would take, what, roughly a decade to be able to, you know, rip it down and build it back up in a full-blown rebuild. Where do you think we're at on the timetable of this coined Iser plan?
Yeah, well, you know, Eisenman has always refused to put a timetable on it because he knew that it, you know, it takes as much time as it takes. And I think they're close. I do. Now, Eisenman won't say that. But, you know, if you look at the moves he's made the last two summers, like he signed seven guys last year and another handful again this summer because I think he thinks they can turn the corner and at least compete for a playoff spot. I think he's sincere when he says that they're behind the Buffalo Sabres and the Ottawa Senators, the two teams he says they have to compete against, because you know when they're ready to go to be a championship caliber team, those teams are also going to be very good as well. They have a bunch of good young players, but I think he thinks that they're close. You know, he loves Seider. You know, Lucas Raymond is going to be a scorer. You know, they've got Edmondson, who's you know close to being ready to play in the top four. So they've got a lot of good young players. So I would say they think they're ready to compete now, but I don't think Eisenman believes they're a contender by any stretch of the imagination. He needs, you know, guys like Marco Casper to come up and be ready. And this year, Danielson is a very smooth player, not dynamic, but he's very smooth. Like, you know, the puck seems to follow him. And so I think he believes when he gets probably these five or six players that he's drafted in the first round here up on the team, I think he feels they'll be ready to go. But, you know, as I like to remind people, it's been a dozen years since the Buffalo Sabres have made playoffs, and the Red Wings have only missed for seven. So it takes a while. And look at the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, they even got Connor McDavid, and they still, you know, haven't gotten to the promised land, and they've been at this for a decade. So, you know, it's a tough sledding, especially now with 32 NHL teams.
You know, and that brings me to my next question about Alex DeBrincat. If Ottawa's not going to give him away, we can't cheat the system and give him a seventh-round pick and get this guy for nothing. They're not going to buy that. So there's going to have to be some compensation where Wings fans are going to have to be, we're going to have to take one on the chin if the organization is going to be able to acquire him. If they are able to get Alex DeBrincat, how much of an accelerator might that be?
Well, it'll really improve their offense. You know, like he had, by all accounts, talking about DeBrincat, you know, a little subpar year last year, and he scored 27 goals. Like, that would have been second on the Red Wings behind Dylan Larkin. And, you know, he wasn't quite right last season, so I don't know whether he just wasn't happy or he knew that this was coming up where he was going to have to make a decision, but you know, he's had 40 goals a couple of times at the NHL level. So, he would help a lot in terms of the offense and the power play. I think actually there's a deal in place. What's holding it up now is the fact that they can't, Eisenman and DeBrincat's camp can't agree on a contract. They're not going to pay him more than Dylan Larkin is earning now. I'm confident of that. And they don't want to give him 8 years. I mean, if you look at Eisenman's history, I mean, he fought even Larkin over 8 years. So he doesn't want to do that. I think they're trying to get him in like a five-year deal at $7.5 million, somewhere in that range. He's, he wants a Timo Meier type of contract, which is an 8.8 per year deal. You know, maybe there'll be a compromise. I think Eisenman will hold the line under $8 million. That's what I feel. I mean, he can be stubborn. He's got Seider's contract coming up. He's got Raymond's contract coming up. He's got decisions to make. So he's not going to give the farm to DeBrincat. And I think, that's what DeBrincat is going to sign. He's a Michigan native. He wanted to come to Michigan. He wanted to play for Detroit. So there's that factor that plays into it as well. But I think DeBrincat's going to have to compromise if he wants to be a Red Wing.
Oh, I mean, that makes me feel great. I mean, where's the phone at? Let me get on the phone. Let me work the phones a little bit, Kevin. Let me talk to the young fella. Come on over here. Come back home. You know what the wing wheel sweater is. Lead us to the promised land. I do find it interesting about the numbers there with the contract. 8 years is a long time. 8 years is a very long time. You know, that's a lot of commitment for me. I'm not a real big commitment guy, Kevin. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little willy-nilly out there on the whole commitment word. And you think about 8 years, okay, and that amount of money, if it's around $8 million, but we also have to kind of assume and project that the cap is going to increase year over year, as it's shown most recently. And with the exposure and the new TV deal with TNT and ESPN, there should be more financial resources. So trying to forecast and plan where you might be able to re-sign Moritz Seider because you're going to have more space available, or Lucas Raymond. I think it's all very, very fascinating. His name is Kevin Allen. You can find him on Twitter at By Kevin Allen, national columnist for Hockey Buzz and Red Wings beat writer for Detroit Hockey Now. Kevin, my friend, thank you so much for the conversation this morning, partner. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Call me anytime.
Thank you very much, my friend. Man, I'm juiced up. Some good information there. I like that. I like the framework of the deal being there. We just got to make sure that, you know, Mr. DeBrincat, you know, he knows that he needs to come home. It's time. It's time to come home. It's time to play for your hometown team, you know, and if there is some sort of, which I could see this a little bit, I don't get too interested in pocket watching. What somebody else is making really isn't that big a deal to me. You know, if you were going to bring in, I don't know, Connor McDavid, would you say that you can't pay Connor McDavid more than Dylan Larkin? Like, yeah, you absolutely can. Like, he's the captain. He's got a long deal. The 8 years is kind of scary, but the $8 million a year, you know, it's okay if you got a couple of top-end contracts if, you know,
those guys. Did you see El Chirpo talking about us?
Well, Dan, you insulted me earlier, and Mr.
Fancy
Chirpo,
boy course. I grew up. Let me tell you about how Warren
Dan's
Valley is
pretty
the
fancy,
least,
Mr. Chirps. He's pretty fancy. Dan was a member at Oakland Hills for 20 years, along with being a season ticket holder at the Detroit Lions for, you know, 15. So, I mean, look, you came after me. You know, you went after me, and El Chirpo apparently took offense to that, Daniel.
I'm condescending?
The way that you dragged me on the Warren Valley there, I was like, oh, Warren Valley. I knew that was a course because I heard you talk about it before. Yeah, he must have really been a – I didn't take any offense to it. But, man, wow. He wants us to play for $1,000 to donate to Freddy's. Can we make it $10? Can we do that? Can we get Freddy just to bring us some pizza?
I mean, I've been in the outing. How about anybody? Ryan's been in the outing. Anthony?
I did hear a story of Keegan Bradley, since he's a Jordan golfer.
Oh, yeah.
That Jordan will play for any amount of money. So when Keegan Bradley brings his friends, he'll play Keegan Bradley's friends for $10 a hole because he just wants to win. He doesn't care about the money.
Dude lost $1 million in the month of January playing golf. All right, we're going to step aside. We'll see you Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. X's and Bros, Michigan Sports Network.